Each year on Jan. 1 there are polar bear swims held across Canada. I admire the dedication of those who participate. It takes courage and a dash of temporary loss of mind. Often the motivation is a money raiser for a good cause. Canada is far from the only country that holds these swims. Ones near us have been held in Grand Bend, Oakville, and Toronto. It was rumored one would be held at Shades Mills Conservation Area, but I could not find any reports of it happening. This year, Jan. 1 was warmer than many previous years, but they are held internationally in countries where New Year's Day falls during winter months, no matter how cold the day. My daughter Allison is a year-round outdoor swimmer. I have great admiration for her. 12 years ago, I was in England on January 1st. Having been encouraged by the Coping Centre to try new things after my late husband's death, Allison suggested I join her by participating in the women's January 1st polar bear swim. This was an annual occurrence for her and held in their local pond on Hampstead Heath. I told her I would, but really had no intention of following through. However, partly to convince Allison, my swimsuit was worn beneath my winter clothing. Once we arrived, I was surprised at the number of spectators, including the local press, in attendance. Allison passed me a swim cap emblazoned with Canada and a large flag for everyone to see. My mum is representing Canada. Oh no, how could I back out now? To let down my adopted country would not be appropriate. Certain the ice-cold water might well give me a heart attack, or terrible leg cramps, I was very hesitant. Ice partially covered the pond, a small track of open water had been cleared. My thoughts were, this is the maddest thing I have ever done. It certainly fit the Coping Centre advice, try something new. As I entered the icy cold water, advised to lessen the shock by scooping up cold water and running it over my back, the advice was followed. Once totally immersed, the conditions took my breath away. My daughter swam along beside me, encouraging me. With each stroke I questioned myself, why was I doing this? Very grateful to finally get to climb up the ladder to get out. It seemed it had been a long swim, but the reality was it lasted only a few minutes. Instantly surrounded by congratulatory comments from the dozens of spectators asking, do you do this often? My response, no, never before in my 68 years. Warm bath towels were wrapped around me, plied with hot mince pies and mulled wine. I began to feel better as my body stopped shivering and started to glow. This had not been as bad as predicted. I felt a sense of pride and achievement. It was, though, and will remain, a once-in-a-lifetime experience for me. The closest I came to something similar was in my youth as a governess in Sweden. It was customary to take a break from the sauna and roll outside in the snow and then to beat the skin with a bunch of birch twigs to stimulate the blood flow. A Swedish tradition which again for me was a once-only experience. It did, however, increase my admiration for those who try both the polar bear plunge and the snow rolling sauna break as a regular habit. Many repeat these cold activities every year. Most of us witness it as a news clip and either admire the swimmers or write them off as somewhat crazy. This is probably not an activity that will become popular in our community, but at least now I understand the appeal. After the dip, when your body glows from the experience, it's a good feeling. Of course, to drink a glass of wine can do that too, but it's not as healthy a practice, and the recent news is advising us all to drink less. Over the years I've had many one-time-only experiences. Most of them I am not sorry for, but wise enough to have learned for me, once was enough. However, I challenge all swimmers to consider it next year. Maybe then we could arrange a polar bear dip at Shades Mills. Are you game? If so, I promise to watch and applaud your temporary loss of mind.